Gemara in the end of Maseches Yoma speaks about two different types of tshuva. There's tshuva me'avon, there's tshuva me'yira. There are differences between the two. So I think it behooves us to take a step back before we can begin to address the mitzvah of tshuva me'avon, tshuva me'yira. Each of those methods of tshuva is presupposing something. It's a basic prerequisite that's necessary in order to perform either tshuva me'avon or tshuva me'yira. Number one, in order to perform tshuva me'ava, it's assuming that a person has a relationship with Avas Hashem. Assuming that a person is going to perform tshuva me'ira, that's assuming that he has basic Yiras Hashem, he has Yiras Shemayim. So I think it requires of us at this time of the year to get ready towards the period of tshuva. So to take a step back and see what exactly are the parameters of these two mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Avas Hashem and the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. So usually when you hear a shir about these topics, you're expecting somebody to get up and start reading your Mesil Shisharim, Shari Tshuva. Maybe we should do that also. But we're not going to do that. We assume everyone's doing that on their own. So we're going to take a step back in the world of halacha / machshava, to try to understand what exactly are the parameters of these mitzvahs. How does one go about performing the mitzvah of Haftas Hashem Lekecha? How does one perform the mitzvah of Es Hashem Lekecha Tira? So these mitzvahs are counted as mitzvahs in the Tag mitzvahs. We know that all mitzvahs have their rules to them. All mitzvahs have halachas that govern their performance. There's a mitzvah sitting in the sukkah, so you have to know what's a kosher sukkah. You have to know when you're chayv in sukkah, who's potter in sukkah, what's that? There's a mitzvah putting on tefillin, so you have to know what makes up tefillin, who's chayv in tefillin, when you put in tefillin, who you put in tefillin. So there are dinim that surround each and every mitzvah of Torah. So the mitzvah of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem are no less than that. There's a Torah, there's a lomdus, there's a mitzvah as to how to perform the mitzvah of both Yiras Shemayim and the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. So we'll try to take a step back and understand both of these mitzvahs and then try to maybe understand a little bit the relationship between these two mitzvahs as well. So we talk about the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. So it's clearly one of the tag mitzvahs, Hashem Lekecha Tira, not the part of the Rabbis Ben Chacham, that was the Maseches Pesachim part of the sugya. But as Hashem Lekecha Tira, clearly there's a mitzvah Hashem in a Torah to be Yiras Hashem. So the question is, what exactly does that mean? How does one perform this mitzvah? What's the ma'aseh mitzvah of Yiras Shemayim? So a person just gets up and screams, Yiras Shemayim, Yiras Shemayim, the guy sits and reads Shari Shuvah, that's you. What exactly do you have to do in order to perform the mitzvah of Yiras Shemayim? So the Rishonim discuss this mitzvah of Yiras Shemayim in the following sense. We know that there are some mitzvahs that are mitzvahs tadirio. So certain mitzvahs that one carries with them all the time, 24-7, 365 days a year, let's say, Anecha Shem Lekecha. So Anecha Shem Lekecha is a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ramban. Whether it's counted as one of the tag mitzvahs, the Rambam counted it as mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? Nechesh Shem Lekecha. What do you have to do to be an Nechesh Shem Lekecha? You have to be ma'amin b'Hashem. So the Rambam understood that's the mitzvah of Amuna. A Nechesh Shem Lekecha is not a prerequisite like other Rishonim. Other Rishonim said Nechesh Shem Lekecha is not a mitzvah. It's just the introduction. If you don't have that, then you can't have any mitzvahs. Like I've told many times over when I was in elementary school, so we had some Shabbaton ones, and they had this kugel game about, they gave us a list of six things, and they said, which of these six things could you still be a good Jew if you were missing one of these six? So what were the six? One was Shabbos, one was Kashrut. So in retrospect, I realized the game was Mamash Napikur Sisha game. We'll do away with that Machlekes. Maybe Shabbos we can do away with, maybe Kashrut we can do away with. Maybe Shatnas we can do away with, maybe Tefillin we can do away with. So what kind of Mishagas is that? You can't do away with any Mitzvah Torah. But without, for the purposes of games for 10-year-olds, so they played this game. So can you do away with Shabbos? So the consensus was, nope, can't do away with Shabbos. Can you do away with Kashrut? No, you can't do away with Kashrut. Can you do away with Yom Kippur? Can't do away with Yom. Can you do away with Davin? Every year. One of them was, Chalila v'chalila, can you do away with the Rebbeinu Shalom? I mean, assuming that, okay, so you're not a Mamed. But you do all the mitzvahs. You do Shabbos and Kashrut, but you're not Mamed b'Hashem. So the consensus was that that's okay. That's okay. That's ridiculous. That's so not okay that there's nothing to discuss. That's what the Rambam opens up Mishnah Torah. The Rambam spends 14 Svarim telling you everything you ever wanted to know about Rav Bashar Shimon, about Miralim Afreya, everything, Kol HaTorah Kula. And what's the first words at Rambam? You say this, if you don't believe Hashem, so then what kind of Mishigas? That's a different religion. Just because you're going through the motions of Shemiras HaMitzvot, that's absurd. I don't know who thought up that Kakamini game when I was in fifth grade, but it was wrong. It was up because on many, many different levels. But anyway, getting back to this story. So Anecha Shem Lekecha is a prerequisite, the mitzvah of Amunah. So the mitzvah, so some Rishonim, Anecha Shem Lekecha is a prerequisite for the mitzvahs, and according to the Rambam, it's mamash a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. So everybody agrees with Asa Rambam that the mitzvah of Amunah is a mitzvah that goes with you all the time. There's no time on the clock that you are more chayv in Amunah, less chayv in Amunah. It's an ongoing mitzvah throughout your lifetime. You're mechuyav to be ma'amin b'Hashem. There are other mitzvahs also that are ongoing mitzvahs tadirios. So what's the nature of Yiras Hashem? Is Yiras Hashem a type of a mitzvah that's an ongoing mitzvah that to constantly be in the state of Yiras Shemayim? Or there's some kind of a zmana mitzvah, there's some kind of a time, there's some kind of a time frame where the mitzvah applies and then the other times where the mitzvah, not that it doesn't apply, but it may not be in full tokif. What exactly does that mean? So if you take a look at the way the Rambam and the way the Chinuch formulate the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, so you get a little bit of a different nuance. Both the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvahs and the Sefer Chinuch are focusing on the notion of Yiras Hashem in the sense of Yiras HaOinesh. We'll talk about the other dimension in a moment, but in the sense of Yiras HaOinesh, that Yiras Hashem means that a person is supposed to affect the way a person acts. It means a person is supposed to realize there's a din v'cheshbon in the world. That's what Yiras Hashem means, that a person has that understanding that when you do X, when you do an aveiros, there's going to be an einish, there's going to be repercussions, there's going to be consequences for what you do. If a person walks around life thinking he can do whatever he pleases and nothing's ever going to happen, so that's the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. That's the bitl of the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. So as the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot, when he speaks about the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, he speaks about it in terms of a 24/7, in terms of a realization. It's more in a sense a cognitive mitzvah, according to the Rambam, that a person has to have as part of his belief system that there's din v'cheshbon, that there's chayv v'oinish. That's the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, according to the Rambam. So Sefer HaChinuch writes that it's more to it than that. So Yiras Hashem is not just that animam in b'muna shleima, that there's a din in the cheshbon, there's chayv v'oinish, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu was watching and cares, etc. That's true, the Sefer HaChinuch says, but there's a very specific time when a person could either be Mekayim Yiras Hashem or can be Mevatel Yiras Hashem. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, at crunch time, when an Aveira comes your way, and a person separates himself from the Aveira as an expression of Yiras Hashem, he separates himself from the Aveira because he's Yiras Shemayim at that moment, says the Sefer HaChinuch, Kiyam Mitzvah Zu, and if a person violates an Aveira and doesn't refrain from the Aveira because he's not afraid of a Kiddush Baruch Hu, he's not afraid of the repercussions of what he does, Bitel Esei Zu. That's how the way Sefer HaChinuch formulates the mitzvah. So whereas the Rambam takes it as more of an emunah system, it's part of what I'm saying. A believing Jew, one of the things the Jew believes is Yiras Shamayim. The Sefer HaChinuch says, no, that's true. Not Sefer HaChinuch denied that, but Sefer HaChinuch says, there's a ma'isa mitzvah, or a shevel tasa mitzvah. There's a moment when I perform the mitzvah. When it comes my way to speak Lashon Hara, and I say, I'm not going to talk Lashon Hara because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said no, and it's an aveir, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to get upset. That's the mitzvah's essay of Yiras Hashem. And a person says it consciously or subconsciously, well, like Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really care, he's not really watching, he doesn't really bother him, da, da, da. And he goes on and does the Aveira, so beat the mitzvah's essay. But even though the Rambam and the Chinuch are both emphasizing they're disagreeing in the sense of, is there a specific moment in time when the mitzvah's essay of Yiras Shemayim is being this batel, they're both emphasizing the notion of Yiras HaChet in the sense of Yiras HaEinish. But if you take a look at the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, the Rambam gives you an entirely different picture of the mitzvah of Yiras Shemayim. The Rambam in Perek Beis in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, when he introduces the mitzvah of Yiras Shemayim, so the Rambam speaks almost a different language than he does in Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam writes that what's the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem? Yiras Hashem means what we call colloquially Yiras HaRevimus, that a person is in awe of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a person is so trepidation, such unbelievable, overwhelmed by the godless of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's what the mitzvah of Yiras Shemayim is according to the Rambam. Not the nitty gritty that, oh, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish me if I do X, Y, and Z. That's also true, but that's not the real mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. The real mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, the Rambam says, is the fact that the person has this awe-inspiring realization about the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Rambam writes that there's a corollary to that mitzvah, that when a person reaches that point of Yiras Shemayim, so then he will also reach the state of Anivus as well. He will also become an Anav. There are some Rishonim who say that being an Anav is also a mitzvah in the Torah. It's one of the mitzvah Torah, one of the Yisurim in the Torah is to become a Baal Gaiva. Ramlu Vavecha V'Shechachtas Hashem Lakecha. Some say that's like an Isser. Some of the Rishonim quote that as one of the Minyan HaMitzvahs. So the Rambam doesn't count that as one of the Minyan HaMitzvahs, but the Rambam clearly is writing this as one of the positive developments of a mind frame of Yiras Shemayim. The person who becomes the great Yiras Shemayim, he will automatically understand the godless of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the corollary of understanding the godless of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is he will realize the katnus ha'adam. That's what the Rambam writes for Feirish, that the more he delves into the greatness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the more he will come to the realization that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he is nothing, that he is just a nivra, he is just a creature in comparison to the Creator. So the Rambam says you get two things for the price of one. That the greater Yiras Shemayim, so not only do you have a greater appreciation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but by definition you have a greater understanding as to your role in the Bria as well. That's what this idea of the Rambam, that the idea of Yiras Shemayim and Anivus go hand in hand. So this is Babish in the Psukim, the Pasuk in Parsha Shoftim speaks about the role of the Melech, that the Melech, you have to be very, very careful that the Melech doesn't become a Baal Gaiva. Why? because he's more prone to becoming a Baal Gaiva. He's sitting on the throne. He's got a lot of things. He's running the country. He's running the world. So he's very prone to becoming a Baal Gaiva. So the Torah is very, very concerned. The Vilti, the Rumla Zavah Me'echa. But we're afraid. We don't want that to happen. So comes the Torah and says, the only way to make sure that doesn't happen is the Yiras Hashem Alekov. There's only one antidote to Gaiva, and that's Yiras Shemayim. The greater Yiras Shemayim person has, Mimela, that's going to control this potential for Gaiva. So the Melech, who has a greater taiva for Gaiva, so to speak, he needs the greater dose of Yiras Shemayim than anybody else. Anybody else has to sit a little bit Yiras Shemayim, so Lord Shemayim Shuvah once in a while. But the Melech, if he's got to read the Torah and read the Musar and read it more and more and more and more, because since he's so prone to becoming a Baal Gaiva, mainly he requires a greater level of Yiras Shemayim. So call upon him, it's clear from these two Rambams, the Rambam Mishneh Torah and the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, that there are two parts of Yiras Shemayim. There's what we call the Yiras HaOinesh, the Yiras HaChet, and then there's the Yiras HaRoimimus. I've said this several times before, and I think this is Marumah, this is hinted to in the Tefillah that we say for Rosh Chodesh, that out of all the things that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for in Mevarech HaChodesh, the only thing that we repeat a request for is Yiras Shemayim. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should be Chaim Shetei Banu Avas Torah Yiras Shemayim, and we ask for Yiras Shemayim Yiras Chet. Everything else, somehow one bakash is good enough. Chaim Aruchim, Chaim Shel Shalom, Chaim Shel Tov, Chaim Shel Bracha, that we ask one time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hopefully will respond to Teva. But Yiras Shemayim, we repeat the request over again. Why do we repeat the request over again? So that's Machlokes why. So some say the reason why we repeat the request is because we just asked for Osher V'Kavod in between. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually grants us the gift of Osher V'Kavod, then we're going to be in big trouble. So then we're going to need a second dosage of Yiras Shemayim. But that's the joke answer. But the real answer is that the two different Yiras Shemayim, the risk of Briske Torah. You can say Chidush, say Chakiras even in Yiras Shemayim. There are two different Yiras Shemayim. There's Yiras Shemayim in the one part where we call Yiras Shemayim Yiras Chet. And then there's a second Yiras Shemayim we call Yiras Shemayim Avas Torah of Yiras Shemayim. What's the difference between the two? So Yiras Shemayim in the context of Yiras Chet, that's the Sefer Mitzvah speaking to us. That's the Sefer Chinuch speaking to us. That's Yiras Chet. That means if I do X, so Y is going to happen. That's Yiras Chet. It means I'm afraid of Chet. I'm afraid of the repercussions, the consequences of Chet. So that's one level Yiras Shemayim that we're asking for. Then there's the second level of Yiras Shemayim that we're asking for, is Avas Torah for Yiras Shemayim. That's a different level. Avas Torah is a good thing. Avas Torah is a positive thing. Avas Torah, we're not afraid of the Torah. Avas Torah means that we're so in love with the Torah, so too we should have that feelings of good feelings towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but feelings of Yiras Hieronymus, which are not scary feelings. They're awesome. They're trembling feelings, but in a good positive sense, rather than the Yiras Chet of the Yiras Shemayim of Yiras Chet. How does this translate l'maisa in terms of how is this going to affect a person's shmiras hamitzvahs, the more Yiras Shemayim that a person has? So we said that one way is, of course, Yiras Shemayim is going to hopefully impact on the person's gaiva and his anivos. But perhaps in another way, Yiras Shemayim is also going to accomplish in the following sense. There is a strange discussion that takes place between Avimelech and Avram Avinu in Sefer Bereishis. It's almost the same, came out the same conversation occurs twice, albeit in different contexts. So in one place, in Parshas Vayera, so Avimelech takes Sarah, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he says that you're going to die because you took an Eish Azish, and Avimelech says, I didn't know about it, I'm so sorry. Then he comes to Avraham Avinu, he says, I didn't know, you didn't tell me, you told me a story, I didn't know that she was married. And he said, what did you do this for? So what's Avraham Avinu's response? What does he say to Avimelech? He says that you don't have proper Yiras Shemayim. He says, Ein Yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. He says, there's no Yiras Shemayim in Gerar, the Plishtim, they're not known for their Yiras Shemayim, and therefore I did what I had to do. It's a strange answer to what Avimelech says. Avimelech's claiming, I'm innocent because I was b'shoigeg, and Avraham Avinu saying to him, yeah, the reason why this all came about is because your lack of Yiras Shemayim. Then you have almost the same kind of a response that Avimelech has, but Avraham Avinu accuses him of stealing his wells. So Avram, at the end of Parshas Vayera, we're laying on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So Avraham Avinu accuses Avimelech of that all his avodim, his servants, stole the wells of Avraham Avinu. So Avimelech takes a step back and says, "What? He's overwhelmed, Avimelech. He says, "You're telling. I never know. How did it happen? How are you talking to Varkaza?" So what's going on? So every time Avraham Avinu is coming with an accusation against Avimelech, Avimelech is hiding behind the same loyadati. He says the same words. I didn't know. I didn't know she was nature's ish. I didn't know my servants are stealing. I didn't know. What do you want from Meshoigeg? So the chayto, what's going on over here is as follows. There is a concept in halacha of a chayt b'shoigeg. You know, the person does a chayt b'shoigeg, so he has to be mechaper for a chayt b'shoigeg. Let's say, if, depending on the level of chayt, if it's a ritzicha b'shoigeg, he needs a kapar v'yir miklot. If it's a chiyuv kares b'shoigeg, he requires to bring a korban chatos. So there are different halachas that have to be performed, different mechaper that have to be performed, the mechaper for a chayt b'shoigeg. So you have to ask yourself a question, why do I need a kapara for a chayt b'shoigeg altogether? I didn't know. I forgot that it was Shabbos. I didn't do anything bad. I understand if I was Machal Shabbos b'mezid, okay, I need a kapara, that I understand. I was Machal Shabbos b'shoigeg, what do I need a kapara for? The Rambam opens up Hilchos Tshuva by saying that a person is mechuyev in tshuva for all the areas that he does. B'mezid ben b'shoigeg. Why? What do you have to do with chaper? What do you have to be chayzeh b'tshuva al shkagos v'al hazdoinus? What do you have to do with chaper for shoigeg? He thought it wasn't my fault. So the chayr of the vart is that even though we're dealing with a chayt b'shoigeg, there's a background to a chayt b'shoigeg. Why does the chayt b'shoigeg take place? Why does it happen that a person forgot that it was Shabbos? Can you imagine, a guy wakes up in the morning, he forgets it's Shabbos. What do you mean he forgot it's Shabbos? What kind of a statement is that he forgot that it's Shabbos? L'chaira, if the person's Shmir Shabbos was up to par, if his cognizance of a Kaddish Baruch was really up to par, if he really understood what Shabbos is about, he wouldn't forget. You can't forget that it's Shabbos. What does that mean? So it's not that the Torah is, so to speak, upset at him for the chait that he did. It's not the chait. The chait is symptomatic of a deeper problem. You're right, the chait itself was b'shegeg. The chait itself doesn't need a kapara. But the fact that such a chait happened, that indicates that there's something wrong with his whole approach. His approach to mitzvahs is very lackadaisical. His whole approach to mitzvahs isn't up to par. Well, let's say the person is a ritzach b'shegeg. So ritzach b'shegeg, you're right. At the end of the day, the ritzach b'shegeg was b'shegeg. He really didn't mean to kill the person. On the other hand, why didn't he check his axe? Why are you swinging? He's swinging an axe, chopping down trees, and he didn't bother to check. He didn't check the inspection sticker on his axe to see that it expired last week. He didn't check the brakes in the car. What do you mean he didn't check? The terrence is that in the back of his mind, he doesn't really have an appreciation of the significance of life. He does very dangerous things. You see, people who act in a dangerous and a reckless manner, why do they act in a reckless manner? So the answer is because they don't really appreciate life. They don't really have a sense of the significance of life. Why is it that you have why do you have an insurance company that try to figure out whether the guy is a potentially dangerous driver or not? So they look into your lifestyle. So it depends on your lifestyle list. So some people, the guy's 18, so he's not settled down yet, he's not married, he doesn't have kids yet, he's wild, he has a certain wildness to him, he has a certain lack of appreciation to the significance of life. Personally, it's a little bit older, we hope and pray. Some people, when they get older, they get more reckless, but we hope and pray. The guy gets a little bit older, gets a little bit more mature, so he begins to appreciate life a little bit more, so he becomes a little bit more careful. So to over here, the person who swung the axe is not the swing of the axe that needs the kapara. What needs the kapara is what went behind the swing of the axe. So ultimately, what's behind the chet b'shegeg? The chet b'shegeg took place because there was a chisaron of Yerushalayim. If a person had shivisi Hashem negdi summit, if a person is constantly thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's what Yerushalayim means according to the Rambam. You're constantly focusing on Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence. You're always thinking about the Malchus Shemayim. If a person is really honest to goodness, always on that mindset, so then the chatoim b'shegeg will go away. Once in a while, maybe it'll slip up. But the constant chatoim b'shegeg are not going to be present to the degree. Every time a chet b'shegeg happens, it forces you to go back and re-examine your level of Yerushalayim. So that's what was going on between Avimelech and Avraham Avinu. That Avimelech, each time, is hiding behind a nechel yadati. That's his common refrain. I didn't know. I didn't know that she's an Ashes Ish. I didn't know that the wells were stolen. So Avraham Avinu says to him, but sorry, when the chil is covered, the king said, you know why you're having these problems? Because Raka and Yerushalayim are makom hazeh. Because there's a lack of Yerushalayim here. That if there would be a real Yerushalayim, so you would act differently. You wouldn't have fallen in. You wouldn't have, the Gemara says in the Sefer Makos, that in the days of Avimelech, anytime a new woman would come into town, so everybody would start to ask her questions. Is she available? Is she not available? She's an Ashes Ish. What do you mean they're asking her? Avimelech's the king. He's in charge to make sure that there isn't corruption going on in his kingdom. He's required to make sure nobody's stealing other people's wells. So what do you mean? He's looking the other way? That's a chisaron in Yerushimayim. So a chet b'shoigeg is indicative of a chisaron of Yerushimayim. And perhaps there's more to it, that Yerushimayim requires of us, not just to, in a sense, passively, to avoid chet, but Yerushimayim is a mechayev to actively avoid chet as well. How does a person actively avoid chet? What do you do to actively avoid chet? So the Torah gives us a mitzvah called the Shmartim es Mishmarti, Asu Siyag LaTorah, that we're required to make siyag, and we're required to make fences around the mitzvah of Torah. What is that all about, to make fences around the mitzvah of Torah? Oh, I'll keep the mitzvah of Torah and finish. Mashal Madav Adayma, a person has poison in the house. So where do you put the poison? If a person has kids in the house, where do you leave the poison? You leave it sitting on the table, wide open, the kid thinks that it's a candy. So no, you leave it locked up, you put it away, you put a child locks on it, you put it behind a closed door, you put it in a place that's safe. A person takes a very lackadaisical attitude towards things that shows that he doesn't understand, he doesn't appreciate the severity of what he's dealing with. So if a person approaches mitzvah Torah and saying, listen, I'm going to keep the mitzvah Torah. Yeah, that's good. I'm going to do the mitzvah Torah. But I'm not going to make any siyav. I'm not going to make any gezeiras. So then the mitzvah Torah themselves will do. Anything else is too much for me. So that shows that a person doesn't take mitzvah Torah with seriousness. If you really took it with seriousness, if you really had the Yiras Chet that the Ram and the Chinuch are describing, if you really had Yiras Shemayim properly, so then you wouldn't suffice yourself with saying, okay, no problem, I won't violate the Ikra. No, you would do everything in your power to make sure that you don't get anywhere near what the Ikra Aveira is. But the ramifications, the consequences of Chet are so profound that you don't want to get anywhere, you don't want to touch it, you don't want to get anywhere near it. So this notion of Yiras Shemayim is not just something up in the Olam HaSal Yoinim in terms of one dimension, is the Rambam's dimension of a mindset, with a certain belief system of Yiras Shemayim. Then there's a Sefer Chinuch's part of Yiras Shemayim is Yiras Chet in the sense of being perish b'shas ma'isa. But it's more than that. If you're just waiting for the shas ma'isa to be perish, you're not going to be successful. There's more to it. There's the mindset of Yiras Shemayim, and then there's the gezeiros and the siyagim, the gedarim that are all considered to be a keim of Yiras Shemayim. So at least we have some idea as to what we're supposed to be doing, what Yiras Shemayim is supposed to translate into. It's supposed to be a mindset about the godless of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's to lead to a mindset about the kindness of Adam. It's supposed to lead us to a greater zehiras and mitzvahs. It's supposed to require of us to create gedarim to protect the violation of mitzvah Torah. So a lot of things are expected of us when we speak about this all-encompassing mitzvah of Yiras Shemayim. We move on to the other half, what we wanted to talk about today, that's the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. So Avas Hashem is also clearly one of the Tayyag mitzvahs. Ha'avtas Hashem l'kecha. So the question is, what do I do about that? How do I go about performing the mitzvah of Avas Hashem? What's the practical side of Avas Hashem? There's a song we used to sing at a lot at weddings. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anachnu. Oh, Avim Olcha. So that's the mitzvah. L'shem Hini Mucham Zuman, L'shem mitzvah. I'm going to sing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anachnu, Avim Olcha. I'm going to put on my bumper sticker. A few years ago in Eretz Yisrael, it was a very common, very popular bumper sticker. Kadosh Baruch Hu Anachnu Ohavim Otcha. Okay, that's nice. The guy who's driving behind you, what does that mean exactly? Kadosh Baruch Hu Anachnu Ohavim Otcha. What do the words mean? How does that express itself? So this is not my question. This is the question that appears in the Sifrei. Rashi and Chumash quotes this, and Rama Sefer Midrash quotes this as well. The Sifrei asks the question, V'ahavtas Hashem Lekecha, V'ameh Ohavim. How are you going to do this? How exactly is a person going to go about performing the mitzvah of Avas Hashem? You're going to sing, you're going to dance, you have a kumzah. What's going to be the key in my mitzvah of Yahavtas Hashem Lekecha? So the Sifrei answers, it's a pasuk in Chumash. It's the next pasuk. Yahavtas Hashem Lekecha b'chol levavcha. For hayu advar me'ela she'anoichi mitzav kol yom al levavcha. So the Sifrei says, how do you do it? By learning Torah. Learning Torah is the mechanism, is the medium of Avas Hashem. How exactly is that? Why exactly? I mean, we're all for Talmud Torah. I'm a big fan of Talmud Torah. But why exactly is Talmud Torah an expression of Avas Hashem? Talmud Torah is a mitzvah Torah. What does Avas Torah have to do with Avas Hashem? So the Rambam has a famous line at the end of Hilchas Tshuva, where the Rambam speaks a little bit about the significance of Avas Hashem. The very last Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, the Rambam speaks about the importance of doing mitzvahs mitach ahava. The Rambam writes that when you first train children to do mitzvahs, it's very hard to instill an ahava. Very often they don't understand Ava yet. Yira they begin to understand, but until you reach the state of Ava, that's a much higher level. But that's the ultimate goal. You're supposed to reach the level of Avas HaTorah. So the Rambam says, how are you going to reach Avas Hashem? It's such a such a far away goal, Avas Hashem, so difficult for us to discuss that. So the Rambam says it's not so difficult, the Rambam says. The notion of Avas Hashem, you just have to look around at other role models of Ava that we have. How does a person reach Ava ever? So the answer is, the Rambam says, that Lefi Adeya Tia Ava. So if I was drawing an equation on the board today, I would make it an equation. The equation is Deya equals Ava. That the more a person knows something about somebody, the greater the love that they have. Love always goes hand in hand with knowledge. The notion of love preceding knowledge is absurd. That's a very goyish concept. That's a romantic concept that was made up in the 1960s. But the notion of real love, true love, being an expression of das, being an expression of knowing the person, so that's based on the Rambam. The Rambam didn't make it up. The Rambam said it's a tough portion. It's not surprising that the Torah uses the word for the ultimate expression of Ava, Benishl Ishto. So the Torah uses the word Yediya, as the Adam Yodas Chava Ishto. Because the word Yediya is indicative of this notion of a closeness of a relationship, but a closeness of a relationship can only be accomplished through a Yediya, through a knowledge. So the Rambam says that's the Moshel that we have for Avas Hashem as well. Lefiya Deyatiya Ava. So the more a person knows about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greater a person's love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be. So the real mitzvah, says the Rambam, of Avas Hashem is Yediyas Hashem. That's what the mitzvah is, to be Yodeyas Hashem. So that just pushes the question back a step. So how do you do that exactly? How are you Yodeyas Hashem? What mechanism do you use to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Rambam writes that there's no way for a person to really know a Kiddush Baruch Hu. The essence of a Kiddush Baruch Hu is not Niton Kilei Rani Adam V'Chai. A person in this world cannot possibly comprehend the essence of a Kiddush Baruch Hu. So the only way we could possibly know a little bit about a Kiddush Baruch Hu is to experience his Chochmah. Because a Kiddush Baruch Hu is the Chochmah of a Kiddush Baruch Hu, that we can link on, that we can latch on to a little bit. So how do we latch on to the Chochmah of a Kiddush Baruch Hu? So the Rambam gives you two different eitzes. The Rambam Mishnah Torah writes one way, and the Rambam Sefer Mitzvot writes another way. It's not a stira; they both complement one another. The Rambam writes the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Avas Hashem is through Yediyas Hashem, and the way of experiencing Yediyas Hashem is through Yediyas Chachmaso. So how is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chochma revealed in this world? So the Rambam writes that it's revealed through two different ways. Also, Lomda Shechakir, two different ways of experiencing Yediyas Chachmas Hashem. So the Rambam, at the end of Mishnah Torah, writes that you could experience it by looking at the world. You look at the Bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you see the Chochma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We spoke about this in Kol, wasn't it? The last shiur we gave, right? So you look a little bit at the Bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you look, wow, what an unbelievable chokhmah. It's amazing, mind-boggling. The sun rises every morning and the sun sets every night, and my cells are working, and there's a lot of unbelievable, wonderful things in the world, big things in the world, little things in the world, and there's bacteria in the world, good bacteria, hopefully, not such bad bacteria. Got a lot of unbelievable things that we can't even begin to be masay, the chokhmah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the result of delving into Chochmas Hashem is supposed to be Avas Hashem. If delving into the Chochmah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads you to Avas Hashem, so then you know you're going in the right direction. If Rachman Lutzlam delving into the Chochmah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads you to become an Apikaris, leads you to become a Koif, then you went down the wrong path. So the Chochmah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dafka supposed to lead a person in the direction of Avas Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a tremendous Chochmah, created a tremendous world, but one could use it for one of two ways. One could look at the same Chochmas Hashem and end up with an opposite conclusion. That's what the Rambam describes in Hukas Avodah Zarah, that the mistake of Avodah Zarah in the world also began through looking at the Chochmas Hashem. How did the first Ovdei Avodah Zarah come about? It doesn't make any sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So Adam knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu existed. Adam told the son that HaKadosh Baruch Hu existed. So who came up with this first ridiculous idea of bowing down to something else? So the Rambam says that it was a progression. What happened was as follows, that people were looking at the Ma'is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people were looking at the sun and the moon and the stars, they were looking at all the great, wonderful Bria, and they said, wow, this is unbelievable, and let's praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating these wonderful things. That was the first step. That's what's supposed to happen. Then the next generation said, well, wait a second, you know, this sun and the moon and the stars, these are such unbelievable things, these are such wonderful, powerful manifestations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. You know, sometimes when you have a king, and the king has a servant, so the king is happy when you praise the servants also. So Mestama HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that we should praise the sun, the moon, and the stars also. They're also Bali Koyach, that we should thank them. We should give them HaKadosh HaTorah, we should give them Shevach Mahodoya. And Mestama, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants also. So that was the original mistake of Avodah Zarah, that they made that jump, that they understood the greatness of the natural world, but they started to say that it's the Ratzon Hashem to attribute, to express HaKadosh HaTorah to the natural forces. And then what happened to the next generation? So the next generation forgot a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the next generation, Kahena v'Kahena v'Kahena, and then all of a sudden, you reach the point where the whole world was plummeted to this notion of bowing down to this spiritual force and this natural force. And this one bowed down to the sun, and this one bowed down to the moon, this one bowed down to the oceans, this one bowed down to the animals. Everybody forgot that it was all, that it all started from the Bari Olam. What was supposed to happen was we're supposed to look at the natural world and then praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu. What ended up happening was we looked at the natural world and then ended up praising the natural world. So that's mamash exactly what's happened in the last 150, 200 years also. So there's been tremendous, tremendous explosion of understanding of the world around us. So what conclusion should we draw from that tremendous explosion? So we look at unbelievable things, things that our great-great-grandparents never knew about, didn't understand. And when the first astronaut, no, when he went out into space, went into orbit, what did he say? What were the first words? What? Yeah, someone, in the beginning, Hashem created, when I think of the hands of your Tuscadillum, that was his conclusion. So that's what's supposed to happen. So you should send people up into space. Why? Because they'll look at space, they'll see they get unbelievable. So what happened? So what's supposed to happen is that you're supposed to study the stars and see, wow, unbelievable, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created billions and billions and billions. It's unbelievable, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's even greater than we ever perceived before. You're supposed to look under the microscope and come to a realization, wow, we never even understood all these things. We didn't know these things existed 500 years ago. So what happened? So people use all those advances and said, aha, there are 5 trillion stars out there. It must be that this the whole world evolved from a Big Bang, whatever it is. It must be the whole world. There's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chalila v'Chalila. And the whole animal kingdom evolved, and this one evolved, and the other evolved, and the Rosh HaKadosh doesn't exist. So that's Mamash Avodah Zarah. That's exactly what the Avodah Zarah are in the days. We haven't progressed very far from the days of Enosh. That they looked at the same Bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and instead of drawing the conclusion that this is the greatest affirmation of the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they used the exact same kochos, and they said, oh, this is going to assist us in that Kriya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So getting back to the story. So the mitzvah of Avos Hashem says the Rambam have done properly. It's supposed to be a tremendous understanding of the kochos HaBria, and that's supposed to lead you to the Avos Hashem. But then the Rambam quotes in Sefer Mitzvahs what Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Sifrei, that there's another way of reaching Da'as HaShem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself in his Chochmah in 2 different ways. He reveals himself through the world of Teva, and he also reveals himself through the world of Torah. So when a person begins to learn Torah, so he starts to see a tremendous Chochmah Elokim. So it depends how deep he goes into it. So the person, the same way like in the Olam HaTeva, so when you're in second grade, so you learn the first time about the sun, oh, that's cute, it's a little tennis ball here, a little flashlight, you know, wow, that's really nice. Then you get a little bit older, then you realize, wow, there are 5 trillion, hydrogen bombs exploding all at the same time, and that creates the light of the sun, and it takes 93 million miles to travel, unbelievable, wow. And you start to understand, you get deeper and deeper, then you start to understand each physics, and you spend the whole lifetime understanding what does it mean to have one hydrogen turning into helium. It's unbelievable. So you become a real tremendous, tremendous gadlus and a maker in the Chochmah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the same is true when you go to the world of Torah. When you first start learning, so okay, so you learn Pasuk Chumash, that's interesting Pasuk, interesting Rashi, it's nice. You learn a little Mishnah, a little Gemara, okay, it's nice, it's interesting, it's small. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, the Torah really makes a lot of sense. It's a lot of lumdus here, you hear a Hakir here and there in Shoy. But then you get a little bit older and you get a little bit more developed and you start to learn a little bit deeper and you start to say, wow, this is unbelievable. Did you see the Chochmah Elokim that's munach in each of these words? You have this one guy, Rav Bashashim, is eating Yisoymim's fruit, and it turned into 15 different sugyas. It turned into Migal Haitzis and Migal Mamnamamans and this and that, that. Unbelievable! Wow, we learned Rav Basra. Do you ever see these things? So Teretz is, that's why I always say the same line to you guys all the time. Did you see this when you read the Mishnah? The reason why you didn't see it, because you didn't have the telescope, because you didn't have the microscope. But when you look a little bit deeper, then you see, wow, this is unbelievable. We got Migal Haitzis, and we got Maitre Mikdas. All the Torah says was Asher Yomar Kihuzeh. Kihuzeh. 3 words. That's all it said. Kihuzeh. We have weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of Shiurim, hopefully. If we put them, we have time to prepare them. To try to understand what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean with the Kihuzeh, with the 3 words of Kihuzeh. Kahena v'chahena, the Torah HaKadosh, every word, what the Rebbe Kiva said, Tiltilim Shel Halachas, to be able to see the godless HaTorah, to be able to experience this, the Yedias HaTorah. So that will inevitably, l'fi hadeah, the ava, the greater level of yediyah satira, the greater level of avas Hashem a person is going to reach. What's the zman? What's the hagdor in terms of the zman, ha-mitzvah avas Hashem? The same way we mentioned yiras Hashem. So So Yiras Hashem has times to it. What's the mitzvah of Avas Hashem? How often is a person mechuyev in the mitzvah of Avas Hashem? So the Rambam here goes back to the same marshal, the Rambam did with his tshuva. And the Rambam says, based on the Pesukim and Shir HaShirim, the Pesukim say that, describe the tremendous love, the literal interpretation is referring to the love between a man and a woman. So the Rambam writes quickly, quoting the Gemara, that this is of course Derech Mashal, all Shir HaShirim is Kedish Kedoshim, is Derech Mashal. But why is it that Shlomo HaMelech picked that Mashal to describe love? The answer is, says the Rabbim, because that's the love that we can relate to. And there's a shear to that love. We know exactly how often that love is. So the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Ki chaylas ava ani. That's the way Shlomo HaMelech described himself, that he's lovesick. So that's a halachic term, to be lovesick. Ki chaylas ava. What does it mean? The Rambam writes that everybody knows that when a person is quote unquote lovesick, so he's thinking about the person all the time. Bein b'shifta, bein b'kuma, bein b'shasachil, bein b'shashena. Whatever he's doing when he's a person is in love with somebody, so they can't stop thinking about the person. So whatever they can do, every moment of the time, any moment of the day, that was before texting. Just stopped, even the person's always thinking about the other person. So that's what the Rambam says, ki chalas avani. That's the shir of Abbas Hashem. If you want to know how often you have to think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's how often you have to think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Bein b'shifta, bein b'kuma, etc. How you can do that exactly? What is that? What do the words mean? You're supposed to think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu all the time. How are you going to walk around thinking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu? You're going to walk into the wall. What do you mean you're going to think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu all the time? How is that going to take place, practically speaking? So the Chara, the answer is, based on the Rambam equation, l'fiyah de'atiyah ava. There is a famous Gemara at the end of Maseches Menachos, where the Gemara says that, technically speaking, for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, a person can learn a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night. V'yomer sefer Torah zeh repicha v'gis v'yom v'layla. It's machlekes atanoim. So we paskin, you can learn a little bit by yom, a little bit by layla. But the Ran in Maseches Nedarim, they ask the obvious question, what do you mean you can learn a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night? That's all you have to learn Torah. And Chazal speak all the time about Talmud Torah k'neged kulam and everything about, you know, a person has to learn, has to know kol Torah kula, a person has to learn and learn and learn, and everything is limud Torah. The Pesuk B'chumash talk about constantly about the importance of l'madatem asa m'shmatem asa osa v'dibartem v'mashiv t'cham v'secha l'man t'ya Torah asa v'ficho shmartem v'asistem. How many Pesukim in Mamar Chazal speak about the significance of Talmud Torah? So you're going to tell me that you can be yaitze in the midst of Talmud Torah, just a pasuk in the morning, pasuk at night, and that's it. And what do you do the rest of the day? The rest of the day you're going to play basketball? What are you going to do all day? You're just going to learn 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night. That's all that's expected of a Jew. So the Ran writes, no, it's obviously not the case. The Ran writes, now, there are two different parts of the midst of Talmud Torah. The Gemara Menachos is talking about one dimension of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is one of the tag mitzvahs. It's no different than any other mitzvah. There are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. One of them is the midst of Talmud Torah. How often does a person have to do Talmud Torah to be yotze that mitzvah? So most mitzvahs have a certain time frame to them. So you have to make Kiddush. You don't have to make Kiddush every day. You don't have to make Kiddush 20 times in Shabbos. You have to make Kiddush one time on Shabbos. You have to sit in the Sukkah. You don't have to sit in the Sukkah all the time. You have to sit in the Sukkah. The Torah is Chiyuv in the first night. The Torah is Kiyuv in the rest of the week. You have to eat matzah. You have to eat one Kiddush matzah, Pesach night, that's it. Maybe you Kiyuv the rest. Maybe yeah, maybe you know. There are certain time frames to a mitzvah. So how much Talmud Torah must the person do in order to say, I fulfill the basic mitzvah of Talmud Torah? That's what the Gemara says, a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night. The Gisa B'yom V'layla is Megal to me, a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night. But says the Ran, but you're not going to know Torah by doing that. How in the world are you going to have your Diyas HaTorah if all you did was learn a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night? So you learn one mishnah in the morning, one mishnah at night. So at the end of the day, at the end of your life, how are you going to know Kol Torah Kula? So says the Ran, there's a second mitzvah of Torah. The second mitzvah of Torah is Yediyas HaTorah, that a person has to know the Torah. It's not enough just to quote-unquote study the Torah. It has to make a reishim. You have to know it. You have to understand the Torah. Yediyas HaTorah, what's the shear for Yediyas HaTorah? Says the Ran, I'll tell you what the shear is. When you finish learning Kol Torah Kula, then we can begin to discuss it. Until you know Kol Torah Kula, then there's nothing even to discuss. So of course that's an ongoing mitzvah. So what's the nature of that mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah? Where does that come from, that mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah? What's it all about? So that's what the Rambam says, l'fiyah de'atiyah ava. Since there's the mitzvah of Avas Hashem in this world, and the Sifrei says, b'me'o ava, how do you fulfill Avas Hashem? Ayadei limud HaTorah. By knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greater you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greater love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu you have. That is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the kima of Avas Hashem. What's the shear of Avas Hashem? Bein b'shifta, bein b'kuma. Yichalas avani, all the time. What's the shear of Yediyas HaTorah? All the time. Whatever's necessary to enhance that yediya is by definition going to be part of the mitzvah of Avas Hashem / Yediyas Hashem / Talmud Torah. So there are two parts of Talmud Torah. This Talmud Torah is a separate ma'aseh mitzvah. That, in the Chinami, a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night, and showing the new yaitzeh. I put on tefillin a few minutes in the morning, I was yaitzeh in the mitzvah tefillin. I made Kiddush one time as Yotze, picked up a lulav once as Yotze, heard the third nine kolos of Rosh Hashanah as Yotze. But then there's much more than that. Then there's the whole other dimension of Talmud Torah, is being an expression of understanding Yedias Hashem ba'olam, which is the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. So we have two different dimensions in Avodas Hashem. We have Yiras Hashem, which has with it its own world. Then we have the mitzvah of Avas Hashem that carries with it its own world. The question is, what's the relationship between the two? Which of the two is on a higher level than the others? Are we supposed to strive for Yiras Hashem as our ultimate goal, or is our ultimate goal supposed to be Avas Hashem? So the Gemara in the end of Maseches Yuma speaks about how we started off the shiur about two different types of tshuva, the tshuva mi'ava and the tshuva mi'yira. So which is a greater level of tshuva? So the Gemara in Yuma says that tshuva mi'ava is a higher level of tshuva than tshuva mi'yira. And the Gemara says that in the practical consequences, that is what happens to a person's chatoim after he's chayzi b'tshuva. So a person was chayte, okay, did a terrible aver, whatever it was, and now he's chayzi b'tshuva. So the Gemara says, if he's chayzi b'tshuva mitach yira, so then sedaynas nasu lo kishkagas. So then his averus, which used to be intentional, have now been downgraded to shkagos. And now they're chatoim b'shayig. Doesn't mean they don't exist, it means they're a chet b'shayig. That's what some of the mafarshim say. That's why the Torah gives us the mitzvah of sukkah. Because many people, when it comes to Yom Kippur, so they do tshuva meyira. So when a person does tshuva meyira, so his chatoim didn't disappear into thin air, they became shkagos. So it's that like the person is a shayig. So what do you do to a person who's chayti b'shayge? A person who's chayti b'shayge has to go to your miklat. He has to go into golos. That's what the Torah says. Leave your comfortable house and go out into golos. And the going to golos, going to the sukkah, should be the mechafer for the averes of shayge. The only problem is, what's wrong with the mashal? I didn't do a ritzicha b'shayge. I did other things b'shayge. So who exactly was that ritzeach b'shayge? So l'chor, you have to touch up the mashal a little bit. There is Tyson Ksubas in the second parak quotes from Maseches Machos, a story about Rabbi Akiva. That when Rabbi Akiva was a young man, he was first starting to learn in his early 40s. He was the first Talmud in the yeshiva. So he once missed a shiur one day, came late to the Beis Medrash one day. So his Rebbeim asked him, where was he? So he said he had to bury a Meis Mitzvah. He was walking on the street, he was on his way to yeshiva, and he met a Meis Mitzvah, so he had to take care of the Meis Mitzvah. So that's a good excuse. So we accept that. Why you attend the shiur, we'd accept that. I once had a bacher in shiur. He never ever missed a shiur. Mamish for years, and he was in my shiur about 3-4 years. He never, before your time, he never ever missed a shiur for anything. He happened to have been on Hatzalah, but he was never on call during the week. He was on call at night, even on the weekends. He wasn't a regular, you know, Washington Heights member of Hatzalah. So we used to joke about him that there's nothing that could ever make short of a person having a heart attack, nothing could ever make this guy miss shiur. So we were Poseach people Sutton, because one day he was walking in the street and the guy collapsed in the street, so he wasn't on goal, but Lamai said, I take care of him. So he missed shiur that day. That was the only reason, 3 years, the only time he missed shiur, because he had to take care of a guy who had a heart attack. So would we accept that as an excuse? Maybe. Okay. So comes Rabbi Akiva, and he wrote in his note to the office that I missed shiur today because I was taking care of a Meis Mitzvah. So his Rebbeim got very upset at him, and they said that Shafach the Dam Noki. He said, you killed somebody by taking care of the Meis Mitzvah. What does that mean? What does that mean? So Taisus goes 2 days. So one day, Taisus says is because Rabbi Akiva, there's a din that Meis Mitzvah is kind of mekayim. He's supposed to bury Meis Mitzvah right there. You're not supposed to take him to the regular schlep and take him out to Matriach, take him away. You should bury him and make a special kever for the Meis Mitzvah. So Rabbi Akiva didn't know that din, so he was shofech the dam nochim. He was mezalzel in the Meis Mitzvah. He didn't take care. He didn't give the Meis Mitzvah the proper cover that was really deserving of him. That was one version of the story. So the other version of the story, Taisus writes, no, that the Rebbeim were upset at him for not coming to yeshiva. There's a din of Meis Mitzvah, Zvech, everything. But Rabbi Akiva was at the stage of his life where every second counted. He should have gotten somebody else to do the Meis Mitzvah. I Meis Mitzvah is Dechah Kerben Pesach, it's Dechah Milif, Dechah everything. Yeah, but Rabbi Akiva, every second of his learning was he couldn't stop anything, even for a Meis Mitzvah. So, yeah, it's interesting Taisus in the second paragraph of Ksuvah. So what, if that's the case, that the Rebbeim were upset at him for not learning properly, then why did they use such a strange lashon? Kilu shefach the dam nochi. Who did he kill? So the Bali Musa say, who did he kill? He killed himself. That means he had certain potential. For those, that hour of potential that Rabbi Akiva had, so he killed himself, and that hour is never going to come back again. Now again, we're talking about Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Lez, Rabbi Shua, we're talking about big people. So we're not holding by that. If we have a mace mitzvah, we should take care of the mace mitzvah. If we have a guy dies, collapse on the street, we should take care of him. But it should just give us a little bit of a mussar, a little bit of something as to the significance of what a person can accomplish in this world. If a person doesn't live up to his potential, he's a retzeach. He's a retzeach himself. The worst act of retzicha. He's mamish killing himself. That he's taking away from his potential, his chiyus, what he's able to accomplish in the world by not reaching that potential. So that's an act of shvichas davin. It's a shvichas davin b'shoigei, because the person didn't mean to. So he was chalizah b'tshuva ready, but his tshuva wasn't complete. It was only a tshuva meyira. So now he's a retzeach b'shoigei, because he killed himself. All that lost opportunity. So what do you do to the retzeach b'shoigei? You send him back to the amikla. That's what the mefarshim say. That's part of the mitzvah of sukkah. So that's the tshuva meyira. It's not the highest level of tshuva. Tshuva meyira doesn't make chayim go away. It just mitigates them a little bit. But tshuva meyava, the Gemara says, that's much greater. Tshuva meyava, so that's a whole different ballgame. Tshuva meyava, so all the averas that a person does, so they become the mitzvahs. Zdonos nasu kezochios, not kishkagos. They become like zochios. So now it's not a pace to do averas. Every avera that a person does, it's going to add up on the good slate. You're not allowed to take that cheshbon, because you're not allowed to say, Ome echta ve'oshuv, so Kadosh Baruch Hu won't let you do tshuva. But if it happened that a person did averus, and then he does tshuva, so he should be happy for all the averus that he did, because all the averus that he does now turned into more and more zachia. So tshuva me'ava is a greater level than tshuva me'ira. The Minchas Chinuch adds on to that Gemara, the Minchas Chinuch in the midst of tshuva writes that he thinks there's a difference between tshuva me'ava and tshuva me'ira in the following sense. The Gemara in the end of Yuma says, that tshuva is not mechafel legamre. Tshuva is a kapar on certain averas, and it's a partial kapar on other averas. So the Gemara sets up a hierarchy, what's called the dal chiluki kapara, that there are certain averas that tshuva is a legamre is a mechafer. So a person is mevatel mitzvah zeseh. A person missed kriyishma one day. A person didn't hear shofar one year. A person didn't learn Torah one day. So he's mevatel mitzvah zeseh. So any mitzvah zeseh that a person is mevatel, so as long as he's chayzi b'tshuva, tshuva does the trick. Tshuva is shuva b'nam shovim, it's b'chapel gamli. What if a person did an aveir of a low sasei? So he spoke lashon hara, he ate trei, he was shatner, he did b'loch hanyantif. He does an aveir of a low sasei, so then tshuva is necessary, but tshuva doesn't complete the picture, the Gemara says. Then a person needs Yom Kippur to be mechapel. That's what the pasuk is. Ki b'yam ezei echapra aleichem, that's going on low sasei, lashon hara, and assistance of Chichvu Vavecha and other Losa says that we sometimes bump into. So those Losa says require a tshuva plus Yom Kippur. Then the Gemara says, what if a person violates a higher level of Aveir? Let's say he does an Aveir of Chayvi Krisis, a person is Mechal Shabbos, a person is violates Kedi Arayas, etc. So what level of tshuva does he require? So he needs tshuva to start with, he needs Yom Kippur, and then he needs Yisurin also. A little bit of Yisurin will finish off the picture. Then the Gemara says, what's the highest of the high, the worst of the worst of Chil Hashem? If a person is b'chal Hashem Shemayim, so then tshuva is necessary, and Yom Kippur is necessary, and Yisurin is necessary, and the only Gemara Kapar is Misa. Only when a person dies, then and only then is the Kapar complete. So those are the Dalat Chiluki Kapar that the Rav Menuchas Tshuva elaborates upon. So Mechaz Chinuch writes, it would appear to him that the Dalat Chiluki Kapar only apply to Tshuva Meyira. Because Tshuva Meyira means that the Chait is still there. So I did Tshuva, okay, I did Tshuva, but it hasn't been removed entirely. It's been downgraded. So downgraded doesn't mean eradication, it means it's been downgraded. So now I still need other things to finish off the picture. But if it's a Tshuva Meyava, says the Mechaz Chinuch, the Chait's not there anymore. It's a mitzvah now. What do I need something to be Mechapa for a mitzvah? I have all these great mitzvahs of Chil Shabbos on my record now. So it doesn't matter what the nature of the Aveir was. It could be the most Aveir Chamur B'Yaiser, but if I'm Chayzi B'Tshuva Meyava, so that's going to change, transform all the Aveiras into mitzvahs. So a male, if a person has the mitzvah, what do you need a fertile level of kapara for? So according to what the Gemara is telling us, that Tshuva Meyava is much greater than Tshuva Meyira. According to what the Mechaz Chinuch is adding on, that it's worth a while Tshuva Meyava. So now we have to really think. If we had to make a good investment over the next couple of weeks, so Tshuva Meyava is the way to go. So how are you going to get the Tshuva Meyava? So the answer is, as we start off this year, Tshuva Meyava is making a certain assumption. The assumption is that Avos Hashem exists. It's kind of hard to be chozer with Tshuva Meyava if you don't love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the greater Avos Hashem you have, the greater chance you have of being chozer with Tshuva Meyava properly. So now we can begin to understand what the Gemara says, that if a person doesn't have Aveir Bizman Hazeh, so you want to get a kapara, so you can't bring a korban. There's nobody's going to make kush today. So what do? So the Gemara says, there's only one thing that we have that's mechaper today, besides the tshuva. Of course, what else is mechaper? The Gemara says, Talmud Torah is a mechaper. The Gemara says, a person who violates an aveira, if he used to learn one dafim, now he should learn two dafim. We should make a new plug for 2-day a day daf yomi. We can have a siyum every 3.5 years, but we have to wait every 7 years. For gotta get enough money together to rent our giant stadium. Okay, every 3.5 years. So those for all the Bala Tshuva who want to learn 2 daf a day. So the Gemara says in Masakti b'daf echad tasek b'shnei daf. For the month of perek echad tumot shnei parakot. So the Gemara says that Tamatar is a mechaper. What do you mean Tamatar is a mechaper? How is Tamatar a mechaper? Tamatar is a mitzvah. Tamatar is a yediyah. Tamatar is great and wonderful. How in the world is learning Rav Hashash a mechaper? How is Shlomo of Talos mechaper? So the answer is that it's Talmud Torah which is synonymous with Avas Hashem. Avas Hashem is a mechaper. Why is Avas Hashem a mechaper? Because that's Tshuva Me'ava. If Tshuva Me'ava is the highest level of kapara, Tshuva Me'ava is not only eradicates aveiros but it transforms them to mitzvahs. Tshuva Me'ava circumvents the whole all the dalei chalukei kapara. Tshuva Me'ava is the highest possible level of mechaper that we have that exists. So that it's common sense dictates that what we should be focusing on during this time of the year is how can we build up our Tshuva Me'ava? How can we get before the Tshuva Me'ava? So for a person to think, okay, he's going to come Hashem, we're going to be chayzeh b'Tshuva Me'ava just like that, that's not going to work. Tshuva Me'ava is assuming that you have an Avas Hashem. If Avas Hashem, if the Sifrei tells us, so then there's a progression over here. So the best way to ensure a proper kapara at this time of the year, the best way to ensure that tshuva is done properly, is dafka through Talmud Torah. So we get back to where we started from. So what we as Bnei Torah, as Bnei Yeshiva, should be focusing on in these days, of course we should be focusing on the slichas coming up, and we should be focusing on tshuva, and tzedakah, and davri, whatever, a lot of different things we should be focusing on. But sometimes these days end up, you become so focused on so many other things, you forget what the Ikar Avodah is. The Ikar Avodah is to be Ma'ariv B'Talmud Torah these days. The Ikar Avodah is to be Ma'ariv in Avas Hashem these days. So the greater Avas Hashem is these days, the better chance we have of being Chayzeh B'Tshuva properly. So hopefully we'll, as the Yom Ha'Ro'im season officially begins, and Motzei Shabbos, when the Chazan gets up and says those first da-da-dum, so it gets us into the right spirit, hopefully. So at the beginning of the period of Tshuva, Tshuva, hopefully the Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us a Siyat Deshmaya to be Chayz with Tshuva Prop. Okay? So again, Rabbi says Sunday, again, we have to have an early Shir. Okay? What do you say, 10:15? All right? So everybody today should, after our blast, is going to give us a little bit more Dibir Chizik Mizaris. So after that, we're going to, everyone, please go back to Reis Medesh. It's a regular morning Seder, and after you guys eat lunch, it's back to morning Seder. It ends at 2:30. Okay? So everyone should please get ahead with the next sugya from everything.